Have you ever had one of those days where you have tried everything in the book? Everything. And nothing seems to be going your way. It doesn't matter how hard you try. You always forget the deodorant when you go to Target. You accidentally put your workhouse Pyrex under the broiler and it exploded. And the girl at Caribou, she got your coffee order wrong, and you just feel like Chicken Little and the sky's gonna fall. But you know what, my friend? Have you tried swearing? Because let me tell you, when all else fails, maybe swearing will help. My name is AJ, your Minnesota BFF and host of the Maybe Swearing Helps podcast. Grab a glass of wine, a soda, a bubbly water, whatever your beverage of choice is. Pull up a chair and listen in, because friends, I've got a tale for you. I recently had a friend tell me that he was fascinated by me. A little shocked, I asked him, "How so?" He went on to explain that he was fascinated by me because even though I have been through trauma, it doesn't seem to faze me. That in itself was a compliment to my strength and resilience. It took a lot of hard work and many tears to come to the place that I am at today. This road has been long, and the nights were even longer. There was a time where I was put together in the streets and a hot crying. Oh yeah, full on ugly cry mess in the sheets. For years, I walked the path of purposefully busy. I thought if I kept myself extremely busy, I would somehow forget the pain and leave the past behind me. This tactic didn't work out very well. During the day, I'd be so busy with work, but at night, it was just me, myself, and I. Well, Cullen was there too, and if Cullen were to tell you this story, my dog, he would say, it was me, my mom, and a Lifetime movie, and she cried into a bag of pizza-flavored goldfish crackers, in which, if I was lucky enough, she would share a few of those goldfish crackers with me. And if that wasn't enough for the night, she would sometimes have a bottle of wine, and we may or may not polish off quite a few of white chocolate Reese's peanut butter cups while watching the Lifetime Network. That is really how it went down in our house. Really, seriously and truly. And not to mention, the woman would leave at 7 a.m. and she wouldn't come back to work or come back home to our house until like almost 9 o'clock at night. That is what Cullen would tell you if Cullen were here. And if he could talk. He is a dog after all, so he's not capable of talking. I had to learn how to be alone with my own thoughts and love the woman standing in the mirror. Those lessons were the hardest lessons to learn. During that journey, I also had to learn how to ask for help. Mostly, I had to learn how to trust that my friends, in fact, family, actually did want to help me, and that by asking for help, they would not see me as a burden. I was terrified of being a burden. I didn't want to be an inconvenience. I didn't want to be an interruption. Being a burden is the last thing I ever wanted to be to someone. I became hyper-independent. I didn't need to ask for help because the only person I needed to rely on was myself. The only person I needed to count on was myself. I scaled cabinets to get things down from above my head, learned how to fix simple things around my apartment. I still remember the day that I was vacuuming my carpet in my apartment, and I got really pissed off because my vacuum wasn't sucking like it should. So I thought to myself, well, you know what? This is the day I'm going to figure out what the hell is wrong with my vacuum. So I went to my closet, and this was after Charlie died, and Charlie had gotten me some like pink Stanley screwdrivers, like a tool set to fix stuff around your apartment. He figured that's what a woman should need. So he got me that after my divorce. So I went and I pulled it out and I started taking apart my entire vacuum because I was going to figure out why this was not sucking like it should. It was driving me nuts. And this is what I chose to hyper-focus on this day. Thank you, ADHD. So I'm sitting there in my sweatpants and my tank top, and Cullen's on the couch looking at me like I have just clearly lost my mind. And I am taking apart this vacuum. I have the bottom off. I got the top off. I got pretty much all the internals exposed. And I'm like, oh, it was clogged. So I pull out the clog. I clean it out. And then I look at this thing and I'm like, shit, I don't remember how this vacuum went back together. So that was a whole nother project on itself. But you know what? I was really proud of myself that I got my vacuum back together. And you know what? It was sucking stuff up around my apartment like a champ. So I was just like really proud of myself, like, yes, I can do it, doing a little dance. Cullen was not amused by this, but I was super proud of the fact that I had taken apart my vacuum, I had figured out why it wasn't working, and I put my vacuum back together. Mostly, I became my own best company. Hyper independence works until it doesn't. It serves a purpose until it doesn't. My hyper independence gave way to an unhealthy work ethic. In the early years after my divorce, I was no stranger, you heard Cullen earlier, to 70 plus hour work weeks. I lived to work. My career became my everything. I hung my hat on my career. I attached my self-worth to my career. I was going to be the best damn paralegal that this world ever saw. I found peace in the daily grind and became content in being purposefully busy. I didn't need to waste my time going on dates. Who the heck has time to go on dates? You got to get dressed up. You have to put the address into the GPS. You have to prepare yourself for small talk, awkward small talk over drinks and apps or drinks and dinner. And God, if they ask like to do an activity, like they want to go bowling or go for a walk, and you're like, shit, what if I decide in like the first 10 minutes that I do not like this person? And now I'm like stuck with them and we have to do this activity, and that just does not sound like a good time. Does not sound like a good time to me. Nor did I have time to meet friends for coffee. Because you know what? I don't want to hear about their problems. I don't want to hear about their marriages, their promotions, their pregnancies. I didn't want to hear about that. Because I didn't have time for that. Because that meant there was something outside of the wheel that I was living on. That there was other people out there progressing forward while I was stuck in this purposefully busy world. Mainly because dating, meeting friends, traveling, having fun took away from work. My friends looked on as my spark and zest for life faded. The AJ they once knew was not the AJ that was standing in front of them. This new version was hyper independent and didn't care if she missed the sunsets. She was content with being purposefully busy and needing nothing more. On the days where old memories crept in, I threw myself into work even more. Work always kept the scaries away. Keeping purposefully busy always kept the scaries away. Purposefully busy worked until it didn't. On my 32nd birthday, October 2014, I had just ended a terrible manipulative friendship with someone, and I was not mentally well. I also had an ADHD med change. During this time, I was not mentally well. I found myself crying in my shower hysterically, not realizing why. I didn't know at the time that I was in the middle of a PTSD response, that I had been triggered. And it just seemed that all of the events, all of the emotions that I had tried to stick in my back pocket Charlie's death, stroke, pulmonary embolism, being abused by my ex-husband, my divorce, the death of my son, Lucia, bubbled up to the surface. And when they bubbled up to the surface, they brought the emotions that I had been beating down so wonderfully for the past 5 years to the surface. And I didn't know how to deal. I did not know how to process. I felt mentally stuck. I was in a daze. And I couldn't shove what just came up out of my pocket back into my back pocket so I could move forward in being purposefully busy. Emotions are messy, and I, AJ, Amanda Jean, I do not have time for emotions. That is why I am really good at shoving them into my back pocket, pretending like nothing is going on, and proceeding forward into being purposefully busy. But this time, it was different. I knew that those shattered shards that were laying on my floor, my emotions, the events of the past 5 years, could not go back in my pocket. In my heart, I knew that what I was doing wasn't living, that what I was doing was no longer working as well as it once did, because the scaries were creeping in more and more. I couldn't keep living like that. I was tired of the storms. I was so incredibly tired of the storms, and I was even more tired of pretending that everything was all right, even though I was dying inside. Step one was getting over my fear of asking for help. For the longest time, I believed that only the weak waved their white flags and asked for help. Boy, was I wrong. It takes the strongest of the strong to make the call for reinforcements. Asking for help was the first step of my journey to healing. For the next 5 years, for the next 5 years on Tuesday nights, I bared my soul in Miss Emily's tiny office. We unpacked my bags one by one, and she talked me through the triggers. She gave me the tools that I needed to deprogram myself from being hyper-independent. She gave me the support that I needed to realize that it's okay to say no, and that I do not have to be everything and be, that I do not have to do everything and be everything for everyone. It is perfectly okay to say, no, Karen, I don't want to go to coffee today. And you do not need to feel bad or guilty or terrible or sad for saying no. You set up the boundaries, you know where the map is, and you decide who you let in and who you let out of your life. You don't want to do coffee with Karen? Don't do coffee with Karen. Tell her no. But mostly, Miss Emily taught me that I too deserve to live a life. Work-life balance was a struggle in the early days. I had to set an alarm on my phone at 5 o'clock to make sure I left the office at 5 p.m. And I had Miss Emily to hold me accountable because wouldn't you know it, my therapy office was literally right around the corner from my apartment and the bus stop was right in front of the therapy office so she could peer out her window and see if I actually got off the bus around 5:30 p.m. She could actually see if I was doing what she told me to do, which was set your alarm, leave the office at 5 o'clock, work will be there tomorrow, your dog needs a walk, he needs cuddles, go live a life. Little by little, I started to build something that I could be proud of. Miss Emily reminded me that my abusive marriage was only a chapter and not my entire story. She allowed me to grieve the loss of my sons. Yes, during those 5 years, I lost two more babies. I have three sons that are sleeping in the arms of Jesus, Lucia, baby E, and Emma James. She allowed me to grieve the life that should have been with Charlie. She allowed me to be angry at the drunk driver. She never judged me. She told me it was okay, that I had a right to be angry because one person's decision changed the entire trajectory of my life. And there's never a day in this life that I don't think about Charlie and what could have been. Miss Emily, she allowed me something that nobody else did. She allowed me to grieve the AJ before trauma took hold. No one expects that they're going to almost die at 26 years old. No one ever thinks, I'm going to take this birth control, this NuvaRing, and I'm going to have a blood clot, which is going to lead to a massive pulmonary embolism with infarction that's going to permanently damage my left lung and change my lung capacity, and then have a stroke on top of it. We never think that's going to happen, but I had to grow up really quickly at 26 years old. I did. I learned something that year. Life is precious. It's a gift. None of us know if we're going to get an intervention or an invitation to heaven. I was lucky that I got an intervention, that I got to breathe, to live another day, instead of getting an invitation to sit at the throne of my Father. She reminded me that I was not jinxed, nor was I cursed. It's just bad things happen to good people without an explanation or reason. It just happens. It's just the cards that we draw in this life. And that what matters most is what we do with it. There are people in this world who wear the victim card on their sleeves proudly, and it serves them well. It gets them attention and sometimes validation or special accommodation. But then there are those like myself who want to be seen for anything but a victim. I was handed the victim card once. I tore it up, threw it in the trash. I didn't have time to dwell or relive the past. I wanted to move forward. I wanted to thrive. I wanted to be a light for others to follow. That person who holds your hand and says, it may not seem like it right now, but promise, I promise you, it's going to be okay. For she has seen the battlefield and she knows what's ahead. She knows what is possible. Hyper independence and purposefully busy were my band-aids. If I kept myself purposefully busy, then I didn't have time to put in the work towards healing. If I remained fiercely independent, then I wouldn't have to worry about being a burden or someone letting me down. Taking the first step off that wheel was the scariest step I've ever taken. Putting in the work and really looking at everything I've been through was the hardest yet most rewarding assignment of my life. Therapy grew me in more ways than I could ever begin to explain. My faith, it served me well. She carried me on the darkest days and showed me the way so that I could heal. Therapy saved me. Now I know there are folks who go to therapy just to go to therapy. Therapy isn't going to work unless you yourself want to do the work. As women, we spend so much time healing the hearts of others that we forget how to heal our own. We forget that being purposefully busy is a coping mechanism and not a life that's worth living. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I know there are millions of podcasts out there to choose from, millions of podcasts that you could be listening to, yet you chose this one, and that makes my little heart extremely happy. If you're curious on what I look like, and if I am as awkward as I say I am, swing on over to TikTok and look me up at Ninja in the City. I promise I'm as awkward in public as I say I am, and as Minnesota is as beautiful as you can imagine. If you would like to connect, you can email me at bearwilltravel@gmail.com. If you'd like to find out more about this episode and more about me, you can swing on over to maybeswearinghelps.com for more information. Again, thank you so much for listening, friends. I hope all of you have an amazing week, and until next time.